Ain't nothing like the real thing, especially butter. I don't know why I thought of butter. I was at the movies the other day, and they ask if you want that topping. It looks like butter, but it's not butter. It's some petroleum product. Anyway, Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye. You can listen to my weekly radio program. It's called The Conspiracy Show, Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern up here in Toronto on Zoomer Radio. That's AM 740 and 96.7 FM. But get this, if you're not in the Toronto area, Zoomer Radio is 50,000 watts. It's a clear channel, which means it has one of the largest broadcast footprints in North America. So you can actually listen to the show Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern. On terrestrial radio as far down as the Carolinas, from Maine to Minnesota, and then I've got about 30 affiliates as well. Or you can carry the show with you on your mobile device. Just download the Zoomer Radio app or the Conspiracy Show app. We are about 52 minutes away from dimming the lights and putting another one in the books, but I'll be back again tonight, same time. I want to share another email with you, and this may spur some discussion, not sure, as we continue along with our open lines, but the email writer writes, please don't use my real name on air, as this could be used to identify my children. Doubting Thomas will do. As a newly trained volunteer at my children's scout troop, I'm being trained in the new Canadian path, which replaces the old merit badge system. The youngest scouts, Beavers, are guided on their beginning with a visual aid to areas of interest. This guide is in the form of a map of a pond and surroundings, including a tree symbolizing leadership, which is home to an owl named Malak. The JPEG of this map is available at, and he provides a link, I'm sure you're already connecting this to the Bohemian Grove. Indeed, that was my first thought, a giant owl named Malak. Yes, that's the symbol at the Illuminati playground in Northern California. Now, I'm not saying that Scouts Canada is indoctrinating our children into the New World Order or the Old World Order, but there you have it. My children will continue to enjoy Scouts, and I will continue to volunteer as a leader with my eyes open. Always with the eyes open. All right, Doubting Thomas, thank you for that. Well, that's rather disturbing. Our young scouts or beavers here in Canada being indoctrinated into the New World Order. Did they really use the giant owl symbol? Interesting. I'd love to hear more. If there's anyone out who knows anything about that, please give us a call. All right, back to open lines in mere moments, and you let me know where you want to take this thing. Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie, and we continue along with our open line segment. And I want to get to Kathy in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, because she is, I think, an electric person. This is someone who has kind of a strange effect on electrical appliances, computers, and other gadgets. Kathy, welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Thank you. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Are you an electric person?
I hadn't heard it called sliders or anything before, but I do have street lights that'll go off when I go under them. There's certain ones that it seems to happen more than others. And my friends all know, and they always tell me I'm always ruining electrical equipment, and my nephew calls me an electronic Bermuda Triangle.
Now, first of all, someone earlier, Kathy, mentioned fibromyalgia. Do you have that?
Yes, that's what prompted me to call. I mean, I thought of it before that, but then when they said that, I said, because I had never heard that either.
And have you been diagnosed with that?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Interesting.
And like
the plot thickens.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that we're making some interesting connections here.
Yeah, I was just talking to my friend earlier tonight, and he goes, okay, that's it. This phone was working really good. You've had it 2 weeks now. It's going to crap. It's amazing how you can have a phone for 2 weeks. I can hear you real good. Everything's good. In 2 weeks, it's shot. You've killed it.
Oh, dear. So you have fibromyalgia.
Yes, I do.
What are some of the other symptoms, Kathy?
You ache all over. You're really tired. I have, like, you know, you get what they call brain fog, can't remember things, or I don't know if it's part. I'll like be really, really tired. Like you can't even hardly move, but I can't stop thinking. I don't know if that's part of fibromyalgia or just because I'm tired of being tired. But
right. And do doctors talk about this other symptom, the interference with electrical appliances?
I never mentioned it to anybody in the medical community because, you know, everybody just thinks you're nuts.
Well, for years, wasn't fibromyalgia sort of dismissed as some psychosomatic thing?
Oh, yeah, it still is by a lot of people. I was originally diagnosed with it like 20 years ago, only they diagnosed me with chronic Epstein-Barr, which was called chronic mono, and then the yuppie flu, and then they said that didn't exist even though you could test for it. And now the doctors that believe in it say that fibromyalgia is a little bit different than Epstein-Barr, but I've already had doctors say, oh, well, they haven't even proven that existed yet, even to fibromyalgia. So,
Well, you know it's real. You know it's real. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah.
And you suffer from it. You suffer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not fun.
Is there anything that you can do to alleviate the symptoms?
Not really. I know that if I get overtired, like if I, you know, if you have a good period, like with arthritis or anything, or, you know, a cold, whatever, if you have a good period of time, you try and do too much. And then for like, you know, 3 days or a week or whatever, you're done. But, you know, if you kind of watch what you eat and, you know, stuff like that, that they normally say about health helps. But if you exercise, you have to start out slow. And they say no caffeine, but if I don't have caffeine, I'm done. I need my caffeine.
Right. I'd be curious to know what it is about this disease, fibromyalgia, that would cause streetlight interference or interference with electrical appliances. And we had a caller earlier who said that this has been documented with doctors. They've actually stood under streetlights with patients and they've observed this. I don't know if, you know, how true that is.
Yeah, I had never heard of that, but I do know that they say a lot of times I've read that it's like your nerves firing too often or consistently. So it's constantly like when you hit your finger or something with a hammer, your nerves fire. And it's like when you have fibromyalgia, they're just doing that all the time all over your body. And it's like relayed pain. So maybe it's something to do with electrical impulses going to your nerves. And there's just so many of them that it affects the surrounding area.
My word. But imagine how powerful they would have to be to interfere with a street lamp, which is maybe, it could be, you know, 20, 30 feet above your head.
Yeah, and I have one or two of them that when I drive by them, it does it all the time. And it's not like they go out because they come back on. I can watch them go out and come back on and go out. It's not like any specific time of night or anything. And, you know, I can have other people with me and see it or, you know.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Kathy, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a good night.
You too. International Line, Jeffrey is in Orillia near Toronto. Jeffrey, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Richard. How are you
Hello,
doing?
Sir. I'm well.
Great. Glad to hear that. Richard, I was absolutely gobsmacked the other night listening to As It Happens, which is on our national CBC broadcaster, because they were talking about Stephen Harper being at Bohemian Grove.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me either. But it was quite interesting listening to this man. And he also, through the Freedom of Information, was able to get his hands on an email that was sent from Colin Powell to Peter McKay, telling him, wishing him all the best in his new adventures. And
for those not from Canada listening, Peter McKay was a former defense minister.
Right. Yes. And talking about running into Stephen Harper at Bohemian Grove, and it was just the fact that, and they also talked about Alex Jones, and he came up in the conversation and the investigation into Bohemian Grove. But I was really pleased to hear that it was actually getting out on our national broadcaster, because it was really, really nice that, you know, that it's not just sort of staying in the shadow, shall we say, of late night broadcasting. And it was nice to hear. And I want to compliment you, Richard, on your reference to Jimmy Webb. I met him last summer at the Mariposa Folk Festival.
Ah, that's right. Earlier, I kicked off the show reciting a Jimmy Webb lyric from a wonderful song called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
Yes, and I had a plate that my mother had given my father, who was a lifer with Bell Canada, here, and it was a picture of a man working on a telephone pole, and I had Jimmy Webb sign it for him. He had never seen it, was so pleased and wants to get his hands on one from the Norman Rockwell Museum, and he signed it for me, Wichita lineman Jimmy Webb. And it's just a wonderful keepsake that I've
got. I'll say.
Anyway, have yourself a good night, Richard. It's always nice to hear you on the with your dulcet tones on the airwaves.
Thank you, Jeffrey. All right, let's say hello to Howard, west of the Rockies in Vancouver. Howard, good morning. We lost Howard. All right, how about Barrett in Houston, Texas? Barrett?
Hello, Richard Serrett.
Hi there.
You had a guest on, Coast to Coast has had a guest on several times, named Jonathan Kahn, and it has just hit the internet just a couple of days ago that he has been exposed as a fraud and, in fact, admitted that his predictions were bogus in his best-selling books. It just hit the internet. I can give you the link in a minute, but I wanted to tell you the specifics. A man who was a very staunch supporter of John Kahn, named David Reagan, a preacher, has exposed him, and Walid Shubat, Walid Shubat, Shoebat, Rabbi Walid Shubat.com, also exposed him. You can go to that link and read about John Kahn admitting that all of his predictions. Now, he was on Coast to Coast, and he said that the 27th of this month, the economy is going to crash, according to his interpretations of the Shemitah and Jubilees of Jewish history.
Well, first of all, I haven't read the article, and Jonathan isn't here to defend himself, and I've interviewed Jonathan a number of times. First of all, a lot of what he says, I mean, it is to be found in Isaiah and so forth. And in terms of his specific predictions about the economy, I mean, okay, so he may be wrong, he might be off, but that's a far cry from saying that someone is a fraud.
There's
an important distinction. You know, you can get something wrong.
Well,
everybody has a right to be wrong, but then to call them a fraud, I would be very careful about throwing that word around or repeating it.
Yes, but you got to remember, he's a Christian. And if you're a prophet and you predict something in the old days, you were stoned to death. So in Christian interpretation, the word fraud is not wrong. Now, we all love John Kahn, and we know that his intentions were good. But he's turned out to be wrong, and he admitted it.
All right. Nor does he claim to be a prophet. So he's simply interpreting what he sees in the Bible.
He's a humble man. He's basically a good man, but, you know, he did claim to be interpreting prophets.
All right, so he got it wrong. We can agree on that, if that's the case.
In 10 days. You should have him on. You should have David Reagan on. I mean, I don't mean to present this as a heavy contention, you know?
Right.
I mean, to present this as a revelation.
No, it's important. If someone gets something wrong, we need to state that on the record. I take umbrage with throwing words around like fraud.
Yeah, well, I'd like to also...
Because fraud means you knowingly misled. And that's my interpretation. Fraudulent, right?
Yeah, he revealed... His dates were set according to the Jewish calendar, which he knew was wrong, and the Jewish calendar denies the reality of Christ as the Messiah. And he knew that when he published his book. So he's got some answering to do, Mr. Serrett. He's got some answering to do. And you need to get him on. But could I comment on your AI and global elites? We would love to hear Dick Morris on. I know he's going to be debate night a week from this Monday. But if you could get Dick Morris back on, he knows about the global elites and how they're going to use artificial intelligence. He's been reading about it. He's been reading about the book called The Singularity Is Near by Ray Kurzweil.
Right.
And Dick Morris is very informed on the global elites, which are really being, thanks to Coast to Coast Radio, for one thing, are being really exposed now. And we'd love to hear Dick Morris on again.
All right, duly noted. I'll put in a request if he isn't already scheduled. Thank you for that. I know he's his latest book is about Hillary, right? Armageddon, is that what it's called? Hillary Armageddon or something like that? A former associate of the Clintons who now regrets that and wants everyone to know about her dark side. All right, let's say hello to Mike in Livermore, California on the Wild Card Line. Mike, hello.
Good evening, Richard. Wonderful to speak to you once again.
Thank you.
The artificial intelligence. Early on in the conversation, I didn't get all of the interview, but he was talking about, it sounded like keeping up with the Joneses, because all these other countries that are doing it, we have to do it in order to balance it. And to me, that's just the Cold War all over again, and keeping up with the Joneses. It really doesn't get us anywhere. We have 100, they get 150, we get 200, whatever. I'm with you. I don't want artificial intelligence deciding what's moral and what isn't. I would think the better way to combat the one world order and artificial intelligence would be to, how do we disrupt it? I mean, we got to have hackers out there who can just disable this if it comes up. And that's what we should be working on. And I'm sure our government, as I put it, the government of the United States, or who's in control of it, has already thought of that, and because they employ hackers. But I would think that would be the better way to go at it. How do we disable all of this rather than think about trying to be one up on the other?
Well, that might be the new guerrilla warfare. These insurgent groups, instead of, you know, fighting guerrilla warfare tactics, they may essentially be hackers. The other way around it, I hesitate to mention it, but if, for example, artificial intelligence starts to take over, a Carrington event might start to look pretty good, actually. A massive coronal ejection. That might be our only way out.
Well, and you know, you had the other caller on, and this is what people really don't think about. And gosh, you look at the world, you look at this election coming up. And we've discussed this before. You're kind of on the same page as me with this election. It's like, oh, yeah, none of the above. But the fact that the one caller earlier was saying, well, we have all this philosophical books and religious books and everything else. We should be able to just put the moral code out there and put that to the artificial intelligence and we'll all be fine.
Yeah, but whose moral code do we use?
Exactly. That's my point. And even if you find the right moral code, I mean, in my book, it would be the Bible. Just give them the Bible and that's it. We're done. But we all know there's a back door to resurface, you know, to get in there and change it and put whatever we want in there. So it all still comes down to the one world order.
Indeed. I got to run. Thanks for the call, Mike. Johnny Cash taking us into the break. How precipitous this song should come along at this moment. The Man Comes Around. Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. This is the Rolling Stones and Saint of Me from their Bridges to Babylon album. It came out almost 20 years ago, and that is, I think, the best cut on that entire album. Electric people, sliders, artificial intelligence, false prophets, full moons, perpetual motion machines. Just another day at the office and open lines on Coast to Coast. We'll be back with more in a moment. All right, let's dive back into the phones, and we go to the wild card yet again. Christian is in Seattle, Washington. Christian, welcome to Coast. Good morning.
Hey, can you hear me well?
I can, loud and clear.
I'm so excited to be on the air tonight. I really feel like it's been a powerful week. I just discovered your show this week. Almost everything that has been on the show has really connected dots for me.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm on the show to try to explain some theories I have about religion relating to electricity. And I think you were getting really hot there earlier when you were talking about plasma. Now, I'll put it like this. Einstein said that his Einstein was Tesla, and Tesla said that his God force was electricity and plasma. Now, you can tell a person in this day and age by whether or not they know what the pyramid was. And that's where it starts and where it ends. We forget that we might have had electricity. The Baghdad battery absolutely existed. Copper wires existed. There's no soot inside the pyramids. Light bulbs existed. Cleopatra and Caesar marked what might have been an introduction to a literal Dark Ages. And in this Dark Ages, we refer to two things: an absence of the technology of that electricity, and one of the greatest things Carl Sagan has ever said, which is the idea that the Library of Alexandria might not have burned, that the technology and the information in the Library of Alexandria exists with the elite. You want to talk about Illuminati? You have to think about the idea that they are 10,000 years ahead of what
interesting. Carl Sagan actually said that? I wasn't aware of that.
Absolutely. You know, I spent some time here in Seattle, in an RV, just hanging out at the Fred Hutch Center. And I was feeling so spiritual in December last year. And it was because Carl Sagan, it seemed, passed at that hospital 10 years earlier. And I got to tell you, now in this day and age, I really do feel things like electricity lingering. The callers that you've had earlier with fibromyalgia, electric people, myelin sheath, nerves, emitting plasma, Tesla's fantasy that we would become Iron Mans that could manipulate electricity. The best way to explain it would be if the internet is constantly referred to as a deep web, something that you swim through, you navigate, you know, there's the iceberg sort of model that they talk about with the internet, and everything sort of alludes to nautical references when you talk about the internet, the net itself and all of the other references you can make. I can't really go into it, but if you look at that as a parallel for the way we always talk about the way, the light, the power, the Son of God, the crucifix itself looks an awful lot like a power line. Now you put three of those together, and that looks like a power grid to me. And you gotta look at where the nails are on Jesus's hands and feet, and where the lines come out of the same exact model on a power line, same exact placement. We look at a cross as a symbol of a man hanging on a cross, but I see a generator hanging on a power line now.
It interesting. Is very interesting. All right. Indeed, although the placement of the nails, not in the hands, but in the wrist, right? To be accurate. Does that change your analogy at all?
You know, I'm flexible. I don't have too many certainties here. A lot of what I'm throwing out there, I've just, you know, really thought about this week. Yeah, a lot of this is opinion. I saw something that Jesus might have been crucified on a tree. And, you know, I have this weird, speaking of trees, I have this weird thought, you know, it's the reference of that power line coming from a tree, or the idea that that tree still remains in that crucifix that is that symbol of Christianity, and how we talk about power, and then we get all the way here past the Dark Ages and into a world with computers. We go from a moral code to a binary code, and then we talk about what again? A moral code. We see BC and AD, but we don't see how we crossed another millennia and didn't call it something else. It's really interesting. I'm starting to see time repeat itself. And one of the things that I'm noticing most is that people that are not aware to the way things are working around them, that are not asking questions to what's coming up, they're not going to see a lot of what's going to affect them. Now, I do think that in terms of controlling electricity, which, I mean, what is greater than that? you talk about power. People have always wanted to control energy on this earth. You know, your show has talked about it all week. I do think that's maybe our only chance against an extraterrestrial life form. So if the military had a complex where we had to be prepared for something, we're focusing on Tesla's lead. We're knowingly going into a world where we talk about missiles and nuclear missiles. We're going to be looking at ways to manipulate plasma in the event of some sort of Nibiru sort of connection. But if that's not a theory that works for you, then what about this? An EMF or an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, would be the most threatening thing in our lifetime because, A, it doesn't hurt anybody, and it kind of fits in that guideline where the government is benevolent. And people want to debate it, but the government is benevolent, but they're also double-edged. We have to protect ourselves. And that's and in that complex, you have the fight for power. And I just think about how religion and the egotistical power have a crossroad. They have a cross, and what that cross is actual electricity. You mentioned earlier electromagnetics. The Ark of the Covenant was probably using Ampere's law coils to make electromagnetic power for the pyramid that ran off of water that came from the Nile. And it's
Christian,
not that ridiculous. It's the only
I need to carve out a whole four-hour show for you. I know. I mean, you're a deep thinker. This is great stuff. I hope you'll call again. You're right, electricity. I mentioned Paul Babcock, who we had on earlier, several weeks ago, rather, and his zero-back EMF motor, talking about extolling the virtues of magnets as the ultimate power. And he said something to me in a separate conversation I thought was very powerful. He said, what's the most important thing in our lives? He said, it's simple. It's electricity. You turn off the light switch, and we're all hunting rabbits with rocks for a living. It's so true. Absolutely. We've heard the dire predictions that if we get hit with a major EMP event, another Carrington event, 90% fatality across North America within the first year, 90% gone. Let's think on that for a while, shall we? Jack is in St. Louis, Missouri on the wildcard line. Jack, good morning.
Actually, I got the name wrong. It's Josh.
Sorry, Josh. All right. Welcome aboard.
I'm calling about streetlights. I have a problem.
Are you a slider, Josh?
I guess that's what you call it. I don't know. Every time I go, I could walk underneath one. I'll go out, drive underneath one. It'll go out. Even the one ahead of me will go out, too, sometimes.
Does it come back on, or does it stay out?
Actually, I think it stays out until I go away from it. Sometimes I see it, I look behind, I'm like, is it going to come back on? And sometimes they do.
And how consistently does this happen?
A lot.
Well, 50% of the time, greater than 50%?
About 75%.
75. All right, so it's pretty consistent.
I got watches, too. If I put a watch on, I'll kill the battery on that. So all my watches are the mechanical style ones. You know, you get a wind up or ones that move by the motion of your arm.
And how about computers?
The computer?
How are you around computers? Do they crash?
No, they don't. They don't mess up with the computers.
But watches and street lamps.
Yes.
So my next question is going to be, do you have fibromyalgia? Because there seems to be some connection. No.
Nope.
Have you ever been struck by lightning?
Oh, I think probably close to it when I was. I've been having this problem since I was a little kid. I remember when I was a little kid, we went camping and lightning struck right next to our tent.
Do you think there may be a connection there?
Don't know. And after that was my life, because I was like 6 years old, and everybody woke up. My mom was grabbing us, like, come on, we got to go. We're getting out of here. And we left camping. It started pouring down rain, big lightning storm, so we left.
All right, Josh, fascinating. Thank you. I find this whole discussion absolutely fascinating. Electric people, sliders. Is there a connection with fibromyalgia? There might be. Is there a connection to being struck by lightning? Perhaps. All right, let's go west of the Rockies, and Rusty is in Redding, California. Good morning, Rusty.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
On your lightning topic, I was wondering, earlier this week we had about the Planet X going by, and there was a statement made that they thought that there was a like a cosmic lightning bolt that dug out the Grand Canyon. Well, what's your take on that?
A cosmic lightning bolt.
Yeah.
I don't have a take on that. I mean, that's a new one on me. I've never even heard that theory before. A cosmic lightning bolt that took out the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, that's what they stated, you know, dug out the Grand Canyon.
How powerful a lightning bolt would that have to be? My gosh. I mean, it's almost inconceivable to me.
I'm a layman.
I'm not a scientist, but to me, that's beyond the pale. I don't believe it.
Right. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking. And also, if it did, I would just, you would figure that there'd be a lot more sand there.
Well, if you have that kind of energy, I mean, in order to take out that amount of earth,
mm-hmm.
to displace that amount of earth, I mean, how many metric tons of TNT or nuclear bombs are we talking about? I mean, that kind of energy the collateral damage would be tremendous. It wouldn't just carve out a little valley. Well, it's a big valley, but I mean, relatively compared to the rest of the earth.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty precise, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy it.
I don't either. I was just wondering, you know, that, you know, they said that they're, you know, when Planet X comes by, there is going to be, you know, cosmic lightning bolts. And they said that the one of their ideas was that it, you know, that it did, one struck Earth, and that's where the Grand Canyon come from.
If you have a celestial body that size swinging by our neighborhood, I think it would be a lot more damage than a Grand Canyon. I think the planet would be lying on its side, on its axis.
I would figure if it was that big, I'd figure it'd kill the whole planet, you know, just turn it, you know, sterilize it.
Oh, yeah, that would be a planet killer for sure.
Yeah.
Rusty, thank you for that. Interesting food for thought.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Richard is in Dallas. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. Love that name you got there. Share it with you. And
indeed, it means a fair and stern ruler.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Are you a fair and stern ruler, Richard?
Well, I've crossed the Peace Bridge over Niagara Falls area into Montreal many times, and love you, Canadian brothers and sisters.
Really. All right. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, there was one thing you mentioned on AI. I don't think most of your listening public realize that there's some AL. Do you know what that is?
Artificial what? No.
Life.
Artificial life. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Artificial intelligence that creates with machines, and then you get to a point where artificial life is produced. And it's actually happened at the Yale University School of Technology years ago. I can cite you their studies under fractal geometry. They call it the sacred science. And in these studies, you can go online under fractal geometry and find studies that Yale University did where their supercomputers years and years and years ago, and I'm talking 10, 15 years ago, cleared their motherboards of information in the middle of the night when nobody was there programming anything and recreated themselves on blank motherboards that the computer did by itself. And these, I mean, it's spelled out scientifically in these reports, but it's there.
So the artificial life is replicating itself?
By itself, without human programming.
And what is this? And this artificial life exists only...
We're going back 15 years or more.
Sure.
These are at top universities of the country, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all of them. And I guarantee you, the general public is not even close to understanding why, what power there is in that.
Oh, as I mentioned earlier with Eric Schiffer, whenever something becomes known by the public in terms of some sort of technological advancement, you can rest assured that who's ever behind that technology released it to the public, but is already an additional, at least an additional 50 years beyond where we think they're at. And that, to me, is a very frightening prospect, whether we're talking about artificial intelligence or artificial life or, you know, some advanced defense weapon. That just plain scares me. Thank you so much for the call, Jay in Florida. Let's say hi to Mary in Snowflake, Arizona. Mary, just a few moments yet left in the program.
Thank you, Richard, for taking my call. And you have the best music of any of the hosts, in my opinion. Okay,
I'm kind of proud of my music. Yes, I love my music.
You're just the best. So I wrote this down so I'd stay on track. Okay, your guest brought to mind the day the Earth stood still and the worldwide threat that machines like Gort pose. I believe for many decades the powers that be have been conditioning us to assume, completely accept, even embrace the absurd concept that handsome Michael Rennie, in his spiffy silver suit, utterly civilized and has ethical, complete control over Gort, is not only naive, but disturbingly dangerous to all life on this planet. That's it. Thank
well
you.
Said, Mary, in Snowflake, Arizona. The now, Snowflake, is that not where Travis Walton hails from, the scene of a very famous alien abduction?
I run into him a bunch of times, actually, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, so I see him at the gas station and grocery store, and he's got a girlfriend and a new car, and when I first saw him, he was pretty scruffy, but not anymore. He's shy. He's quite shy.
Yes, he is. He's quite a gentleman. All right. Mary in Snowflake, Arizona, thank you so much for checking in.
Richard, and thanks for the music.
My pleasure. All right. Well, that's it. We are about to dim the lights and head on home. So, for George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyon, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Chris Burrows, Donna Walker, Sean Latasor, and here in Toronto, Nathan Smith, Scott Guest, and Mike Stringer, I'm Richard Serrett. Thanks for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Talk to you next time. Good night.